Hey guys, welcome back to the Undercover Nerds podcast. I'm Robert.
I'm Tammy.
I'm Mr. Fluffy.
Well, that's muted.
Sorry. I'm Angel. Sorry.
I'm sorry, that was so unexpected. I'm Sonata.
So, today we are going to try and keep the topic relatively wholesome, especially after our last episode, which was probably our most vulgar since the Dating Sims episode. And we're going to be talking about how we all became the giant nerds that we are today.
I feel like our simping episode was pretty bad, but maybe that's just me.
I don't know. The second half of that last episode went places. But
there.
If you guys want to know what we're talking about, go listen to that episode.
Yeah, I did talk about Donald Duck's penis at one point and how it coils. Sorry, hold some episodes.
That's fine. We'll fix it in post.
I'm just kidding.
All right. Do any of you guys want to go first?
I'll go first.
I mean, I can. I thought I'd extend the olive branch, as it were.
Actually, you know what, Angel, you go first.
Yeah, mine's pretty basic, man. I guess like nerd culture in general. We talking like anime?
Maybe just nerd culture in general.
Okay. Well, all right. So yeah, April 24th, 1993, I was born, and I've been a nerd ever since then. Because sports were nowhere near as fun as Sonic the Hedgehog 2. That was probably my first favorite video game. Then I Metal Gear Solid became my religion. And then I found out about Dragon Ball Z the same way everybody else does. After school, pretending on the couch that you can shoot energy out of your hands.
Listen,
and ever since then, you know,
we
got deeper.
I feel like you weren't a real Dragon Ball Z fan if you didn't like legitimately, unironically try to do the Kamehameha as a kid.
Dude, I have a funny story, actually. I have a very funny story. Okay. I was like 8 years old, and I'm in the shower, and I was just doing my 8-year old thinking in the shower. And I was like, I was feeling my hair. I was like, yeah, I wish I was Super Saiyan. Wait a second. I've never tried to go Super Saiyan. That's why I haven't.
Dude,
Jesus,
yes.
That's so
yes.
Dumb. How can you become Super Saiyan if you've never tried? Right? So then I'm in the shower, and I'm like, this is perfect. I have all the time in the world. I start powering up. I'm pushing whatever. What do you push? You know what it is, but you don't.
Yeah.
Like, what is it? So I was just like pushing. I was like pushing out my energy. And I just remember thinking like, push past your limits. This is just in your mind. Like, you gotta, I'm just like, come on, Vegeta, you can do this. And I'm just pushing. And then when I woke up, I was tangled in the shower curtain. excited little 8-year old Angel passed out in the shower. Of his own volition. I woke up.
Did you fall out?
I fell out, dude. I had a dream. And I woke up completely confused and like tangled in the shower curtain. Luckily I hadn't fallen like on the floor, on the tub or anything. I was just like tangled in the shower curtain like a little tamale.
Yeah.
All right. Did you at least go Super Saiyan in the dream?
Or a cocoon.
In hindsight, it's pretty dangerous, but we're glad you're okay, and it makes for a good story.
Well, I mean, I turned Super Saiyan. I don't know if you know. I looked in the mirror and I checked. And
yeah.
I didn't, but I actually did. I woke up and I was like, I gotta check the mirror, and I like wiped it to see if my hair was blonde.
Dude, the thing about that is like, that's the same thing as, like, I definitely tried it as a kid. And it's the same thought as, like, oh, I've never tried. How do I know? With the obvious thing is, like, because I'm not a fucking Saiyan. that's kind of the big thing.
Do not say that. Do that yourself, okay?
Listen,
not true. You can be whatever you want
to
be.
Unless everyone in my life has been lying to me and I am actually a Saiyan, which I would love. I would love for that to happen.
They did it to Goku.
Yeah, fair enough. I need my long-lost evil twin brother to come down from space. And that's what it is. I haven't had a son yet. He doesn't have anyone to kidnap.
You're also not named after a vegetable or a food.
We don't know that other planets don't call vegetables Roberts. We can't prove that.
But on the planet of Gatuna, they don't.
No, if I ever discover a new vegetable, which there's a high chance that I will, don't ask why, I'm going to name it Robert.
Thank you. You're a true friend.
I love that.
With as many Roberts as there is in the world, that would become so confusing.
was there more to your origin story, Angel? Or
How was it like growing up? Were you ever closeted?
No, never. And I wasn't really bullied either, because I'm still Puerto Rican, so I didn't play that shit. But it definitely wasn't cool at a certain point, and it kind of I'm kind of mad now. It's like super cool to just be. I mean, it's a good thing ultimately, but you know, I was like, why didn't y'all realize it was cool when I was telling you, when I was yelling out?
The general consensus right now is like, why wasn't this cool when I was younger?
Yeah, I definitely get that. That's the same reason I'm pissed off at e-boys and e-girls. Because I got made fun of for being into all that edgy shit in middle school. And now you're parading around on TikTok acting like it's a cool thing. I fucking suffered so you can do all this shit online and have a million subscribers. All right, I didn't get to paint my nails openly. Because I would have got teased for it.
Yeah. Robert crawled so Belle Delphine could walk.
Listen, all I'm asking...
The two most opposites.
Is it too much to ask for Belle Delphine to give me a thank you once in a while? That's all I'm asking.
Oh, Lord. Let's not drop her name in this podcast.
Flag.
Well, I guess I'll go next. To be honest, mine wasn't very exciting either. I started watching Toonami at a young age, and my first two animes were Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball Z, and then my first manga was Demon Angel, which Rob knows this. And honestly, Demon Angel is probably what kind of awakened the BL lover in me, because, like, even before I knew what BL was or, like, really got into it, I kind of noticed there was something weird about Satoshi's attention, like, the amount of attention that Satoshi paid to Daisuke, and, I don't know. It was a curiosity that eventually got me my second manga, which was Gravitation.
Oh, boy.
And bless my dad. He always gave me money. I would always go to Walden Books in the mall before they were bought out, obviously, by Barnes & Nobles. But my dad would always give me money when we go to the mall. He'd give me like $10, $20, and I would always go and buy manga with it. And so I've collected so much manga over the years. I've given some away and I've sold some, but like I counted my collection often, and I got up to like over 120 at one point. And that was, but it wasn't until I moved out that I was like, man, I probably need to reduce this collection because this is getting really hard to move everywhere I go, which I kind of want to build it back up now. But I think it's safe to say that It's mostly BL or at least BL oriented manga now on my shelf.
I mean, there was something exciting about buying manga, especially since most of them have the picture on the bottom that the more issues you get, it makes like a consecutive picture.
Yeah, the spines are pretty. But I'm trying to think. Oh yeah, the thing that I really got, like, that really just kicked it into gear for anime for me was Inuyasha. Definitely. I remember I was in third grade, and because I was such a crybaby, like, if I missed an episode, I would cry on the bus the next morning. And people would know, oh, okay, we just missed another episode of Inuyasha. I didn't really get made fun of for it, to be honest. I think it was because I didn't get made fun of, or I was too dumb to know people were making fun of me.
Tammy,
because I was a written thing just went over my head as a kid.
Can I just in my head, I'm imagining like little Tammy on the bus, like, I missed an episode of Inuyasha. What if this is the one where they made out and I missed it? That's why you were so upset.
I mean, to be fair, yeah. there were some instances where I was just like, oh my god, you know, Inuyasha got so close this episode. Dude, I read so much. Inuyasha was what got me into reading fanfic.
I was about to ask.
I still remember one of my first ones where it was called Beso, and I don't know why it was called that, because it had no Spanish connotation whatsoever. But like, Inuyasha somehow turned Kagome into a half demon, and they had a kid together. I don't even know. It was a whole thing. Like, all he did, like, it was like a vampire blood transfusion type thing. Like, he bit her, and the next morning she woke up with ears. So yeah.
Damn. It's funny, because, like, realistically, what would probably happen if Inuyasha ever bit Kagome, she'd probably just fucking get pissed and make him fall down.
Yeah. Yeah. But,
okay, so I guess I'll go next. I can't even remember where it really first started, because I'm trying to, like, line it up. It was either one of the Sailor Moon movies where, Chibi Moon gets kidnapped by...
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, where, like, they go on the...
I knew she would know. She would know what you were talking about.
That's the one my sister was really into.
I read the Naruto mangas out of order because everything in our library was, like, really boring to me. And then I saw, like, I think it was, like, volume 4. It was with Kiden, and that's when, you know, they kill him. And it's, like, his, like, arms are stretched apart, and it's like a super gory one. It's either one of those two that kind of kicked me into it, and then I, like, found out about 4Kids, and I'd watch, like, Pokemon and stuff on that, and then when I'd go to my friends' houses, I'd be like, you guys got cable? And they're like, yeah, and I'm like, put it on channel 60, Toonami Kids, let's go.
Dude, 4Kids, they may not have had the best dubs, but as a kid, the English openings for anime, they were always so fucking hype.
Yeah, the YouTube
opening. Like, dude, I won't lie. I fucking loved the One Piece opening as a kid. I thought that was the dopest shit ever. And then I grew up and realized it wasn't.
I remember when they sold the Yu-Gi-Oh! Opening and ending soundtrack at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Or as a part of a Happy Meal.
I remember that.
It's so weird. It's like we talk about, like, our childhoods, like, oh, it wasn't cool. But, like, thankfully, we still had a good amount of merch.
We did.
You'd be like a kid, and you'd be like, freaking all the trading cards and whatnot, and, like, the plushies.
Yeah. You said
I had the Yu-Gi-Oh! Dueling.
Dude, blazing. Yes.
Oh, my God.
You couldn't tell me shit. I was like 8 years old. I was running my block. Nobody else had it. I was just like, look, you're getting sent to the Shadow Realm today.
Bro.
And it's not your fault.
I'm mad.
It's mine.
So I also
just the angel like beating a kid.
Dude, no, you don't understand. When you had the dual disc on, you felt so powerful.
Oh my god!
I'm mad because I also had one. And a few years ago, I guess my parents were going through the garage and like kind of getting rid of old stuff, and they didn't call me to ask if I still wanted the dual disc. No, I'm not using it, but fucking, you can't find those anymore. I want to keep it. And they
can't.
Right.
I don't have $800 for a dual disc. I don't have that kind of money. But they didn't. They didn't call, so they donated it to the women's shelter. And listen, I'm all about donating to women's shelter and charity by all means. I get rid of clothes all the time.
That's not gonna help.
They don't fucking need a dual disc, yo. They didn't need it.
Yeah.
Like what the fuck? They. Oh, I'm still kind of pissed about it. I know they didn't mean to, but I just. I remember they told me, and I was like, "How could you guys betray me like this?"
I hate that I'm imagining just two women like just having tea on their set.
This is a nice little coffee table.
Like if I found out that someone at the women's shelter was like a huge Yu-Gi-Oh fan and they loved it, that would make me feel better. But I just don't see that being the case.
That's not what they mean right now.
That's not what they're
immediate.
I mean, as like a weapon. Right in someone's head.
It's a security guard just standing there with it, like, come at me, motherfuckers, try to get in here.
He puts, like, somehow he finds, like, two, and he's just, like, double, like, wielding it as if it's some kind of.
I love that.
Except that you were a closeted weeb for a while, weren't you?
Oh, I was. I had to be. I was in sports and stuff, and like if anyone opened my mouth, I'd be like, "Yeah." Or like I remember I had like very like minute like things that kind of gave me away as a weeb. Like I had like a Sailor Moon keychain in high school and all these things, and then like people would just look at me and be like, "You like anime?" And I'm like, "No," because it was like during like my time in high school, everybody was like those like big jocks, Hollister, like, don't do anything else kind of thing. And I was like, I gotta fit in, my anxiety. And I'd go home and, like, go up on Kiss Anime and be like, Mei Thama. And I'd just sit and watch Usui and just go home again. So that was my weeb come up. And then college hit, and then Rob knows that I was the loudest fucking weeb thing just running around being like, you like anime? Me fucking too.
Alright, so
college is probably the perfect opportunity to let your weeb loose, your nerd loose.
Honestly, Sonata, I don't know if you realize this, but in our friend group that we had in college, I didn't start letting the others in that I was like really into anime until I met you and was like, cool, there's someone else that's really into it. I can be a little more open. And then after that, I found out Izzy was also really into anime. So by that point, I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to let them see this side of me. And they're going to have to be okay with it because they're already my friends.
Yeah.
They're into
deep. And they'll look at you. I remember so many times one of our mutual friends, Steen, would like walk in on me like because she was my roommate. And she'd just be like, are you okay? And I'm just like sobbing tears. Like, because I just finished a season or something, and she'd be like, anime? And I'd be like, yeah.
Dude,
what's wrong with that?
It's like,
like, even in our major, though, we still got, there were still some, like, hard, like, shit talking about anime. And for a little bit, I never felt ashamed of being into anime until I got to be honest. Like, people were like, oh, like, you know, I think I met this guy named Ben, and he was just like, yeah, you're going to regret, having any influence in anime whatsoever once you meet some of these professors. And I was like, what the fuck? Really? And so I tried so hard to change my style
because I
heard that school was so hard on anime.
I feel like even then, because I had the same thing until I forget the fake name we had for him, but our professor
Longsword?
Yes, Professor Longsword. I'm going to call him Professor Simone because he quotes Gurren Lagann more than anyone else I know. Once I took his class, it's so good. It's one of my favorite anime. I took his class, and seeing a professor be so unapologetic about being in anime made me feel more okay with like expressing that in classes. And then we hit the point where, like, you know, me and Tammy, we would put, you know, shit on the TV while we were pulling all-nighters at the studio. And there was one day where we just, like, we openly had Lucky Star playing in the background, and people would walk by and be like, what the fuck are you watching? He's like, we're watching Lucky Star either deal with it or work in a different room because I'm not changing it.
My thing is, too, it's like, I get it. Anime's weird at times. Like, I love the memes where it's like, the really bad animations from like the early 90s where the eyes are like down to like the tip of the mouth and stuff. But like now we have Kyoto Animation, which is just a powerhouse of a fucking animation studio.
There's so many. Animation, fucking Studio Trigger, Gainax, Studio Orange has like, they're making 3D animation like something that is good, like enjoyable to watch. Between, what was it, Land of the Lustrous and Beastars, they've been knocking it out of the park as far as 3D animation. Like, the anime is, like, it's come a long way in terms of presentation.
Beastars. Like, I'm going to hold my comments, but I'm angry that that was just mentioned.
That is, I think, the bottom level of... they who shall not be named steps that I will go up. That is where I will stand. I like it. I like the character design. They're great.
Oh my god, they're 2020 Voldemort.
They are the final boss.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and I mean a lot of people I've seen a lot of people who watch Beastars and wish just were just like, am I a furry now?
Like, so, like, that's the thing, though. With Beastars, like, every single person that I've talked to about it, they have the same reaction where they're like, it was kind of uncomfortable to watch. But, like, you legitimately, you watch Beastars because, like, the plot is so fucking engaging. It's like, you want to know what happens next. That's the thing that pulls you along.
I'm afraid if I watch Beastars, I'm going to get my virginity back.
All right.
And that's all I'm going to say about that.
But before we get further off topic and we devolve into something less
Rob
than wholesome.
Should not be having any last things to say about your... No?
No, I think I'm good.
I was just going to say earlier that you're talking about high school. High school is actually when I started getting into, like, Western comics and stuff like that. Wonder Woman was my first break in into all of that stuff. But yeah. All right, Rob, so your origin story.
All right. So if we're talking general nerdiness, I think my first exposure to it was either my dad's PlayStation 1 with Spyro, Crash Bandicoot, stuff like that, or no, I think even predating that, my cousin Lamar, who lived with us for a little bit, he had a shoebox with a bunch of collectible X-Men trading cards that I found one day, and I was kind of going through them. And I remember he had them in a shoebox because he didn't want them to get messed up. I actually have them now because he passed away somewhat recently, and that was one of the things that my dad let me have because he remembered that I loved them as a kid. And that was kind of my exposure to nerdy stuff.
Sorry to hear that, though, man.
I mean, it's all good. It the situation was unfortunate, but it's fine. We're gonna keep it light for the podcast.
Yeah.
If we're talking about anime specifically, like, yeah, I did watch Dragon Ball Z and Sailor Moon and Kenshin on Toonami and stuff and Pokemon. But the thing is, like, I didn't recognize those as anime as a kid. I don't think I really recognized what it was and got into it until, you know, go figure, we moved to Japan because I'm a military brat. and there was this local store called The Spot, and they had Shonen Jumps that they would sell. And I found it was the December 2004 issue, and I saw Super Saiyan 2 Gohan on the cover. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. I want to get this. And I kind of read through all those manga, and that was kind of my introduction to anime. And then from there, my mom would like bring home different anime that her coworkers recommended that I was probably too young to be watching. And also for kids and stuff like that. I wasn't really closeted as a kid. In fact, I was like hella open as a kid. We would, our parents wouldn't buy us Yu-Gi-Oh cards because we had too fucking many. So we would like fold up pieces of paper and draw them ourselves. And,
dude, me too.
Yeah. I was like, oh, man, I can't, if I can't buy a Red Eyes Black Dragon, I'll just draw one myself. But it like, yeah. It wasn't even remotely close to what it looked like. It was a fucking snake with wings.
That sounds like Red Eyes Black Dragon to me. Okay. sounds perfect.
But I think around the time I got to like middle school, high school, I got kind of closeted because, you know, it wasn't a cool thing to be into. And I don't know. I was super self-conscious of not necessarily being popular or cool, but fitting in, just like not standing out or anything. So I didn't really let many people know I was into anime. And the people that I did talk to, like, we didn't talk about it much at school. It was kind of like, you know, at home or whenever we were hanging out, we would like geek out about it. I think by the time I got to SCAD though, I didn't talk about it much in class, but as far as like, I would wear like Naruto shirts and stuff like that. Cause I was at the point where it's like, whatever. I'm at an art school.
I mean, you have Kakashi's symbol like,
yeah,
tattooed on your
that's
arm.
The thing. Like I got the Anbu Black Ops thing tattooed on me, but like, even then, like I was kind of, I was nervous to wear sleeveless shirts because I was like, oh, I don't want people to fucking be like, oh, that's Anbu Black Ops, what a nerd. But then, like, at a certain point, I had that thought, is like, if they know what this is, they probably watch Naruto. Because otherwise, this just looks like a random fucking doodle.
It does kind of look like a tribal tattoo. And I realize I need to go, whenever I edit this video, this audio, I have to go through and bleep out that I fucking dropped our school name. I'm an idiot.
Please nice. Put like the most disturbing sound you can, like a Sundere Baka or something.
Put,
oh my god!
Put the a sound effect from Donald fucking not using a health potion.
Damn, that was pretty good.
But yeah, I mean, it was like you said, I started wearing sleeveless shirts, and lo and behold, people who didn't watch Naruto were just like, oh, that's a cool tribal tattoo, what does it mean? And I was like, oh, I actually had to look it up.
Questions you're not ready for the answer to.
So, the only reason I know what it means, like the Anbu thing apparently means mind over body. I only know that because I had to look it up because people kept asking me what it meant and I couldn't be like, oh, it's from an anime.
I can only imagine Rob being, give me a second, checking on his phone.
When me and Rob started to talk more, when we started having more classes together and we would like sit next to each other. And one day I looked at Rob and I looked at his ears and I was like, so, now that I know that you're a weeb, is that like a Moroku thing? And he was like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I was like, I fucking do it. You
that's
fucking
the thing.
Weeb in the dark.
So that was one of my subtle ways of expressing my weebdom, for lack of a better term.
That's good then.
Yeah, well, it was two things. It was part Miroku and part Vash the Stampede from Trigun, because they both have, like, two hoops on one ear, one hoop on the other. So I was like, oh, that's a cool way for me to, like, have a connection to shows I like without openly being like, hey, I'm into Japanese animation where monks openly grope people for shits and giggles. but yeah, I think that's more or less my origin story as far as what led me to being a weeb.
I kind of wish I had more friends who were, like, into more, like, mainstream comics, I guess. Like, thanks to Rob and stuff, like, I've slowly been getting more into, like, Marvel comics and, like, more of, like, the nerdier scene, like, D&D and stuff. But, like, when I grew up, like, my mom, being the very Muslim family that we have, like, she'd look at me and be like, that's devil stuff. Stop it. Go study. And I'd be like, oh, no, this is fun.
I mean,
devil shit is always fun.
Whatever.
I know. It's the best shit.
Yeah. Whenever I got into school, I think that I started kind of moving away from the hero comic scene so much and started getting more into, like, independent comics, like, from, you know, like, Image and stuff like that, because the hero thing was already starting to kind of grate on me because of the decisions that DC and Marvel were making. We're not going to get into that right now because I have a whole list of rants, but yeah, like, I don't know. I was into the hero thing for a very short time. I'm still into it, like, don't get me wrong, but very limited, very limited.
It's funny. It's funny really that you say I'm one of the reasons you started reading more American comics, because I was into them as a kid, like Marvel and stuff, but that was mostly through video games. Like, I remember playing the hell out of Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2. Was it Rise of the Nemesis or something like that? I remember playing all the Marvel and DC video games, but I didn't actually start reading comics until, like, you know, high school, college. It was mostly manga, if I was reading anything. Mm. Also, I just remembered, since Angel shared an embarrassing weeb story from his childhood, I have a couple. One of which, yes. So in the Shonen Jumps, in the before and after the Naruto sections, they would have, like, these are the different hand signs for the different jutsu. And I would, like... I would wait until it was, like, really cold outside, but, like, you can see your breath, and I'd be like, all right, now's the time for me to try doing fireball jutsu.
And I would, like... God, you waited until you see your breath.
I would, like, go let the dogs out to use the bathroom and be like, all right, no one's watching. I'm going to practice my fireball jutsu. And, like, of course, nothing fucking happened.
That's so gangster.
I love
The other one.
Do you still have the chops? Can you do it?
No, right I don't now? Remember any of them. I have my Shonen Jumps next to me. I could probably look it up, but the only one I remember is the Shadow Clone Jutsu, because it was a shortcut. This wasn't. They did this because at a certain point they were like, we don't want to keep animating hand signs. We're just gonna have him do the plus sign.
I had
you. They probably saw you outside and thought you were a gang member.
Oh no, this was in the backyard. This never happened where, like, people could see me. At least that.
I mean,
one.
That's better than my friend Tony. Rest in peace, Tony. But he was that kid that sat in the back of the classroom, and he had that Hot Topic Naruto headband, and he would cut out socks. Holes into his into socks and put it over his hands, layer black socks, and he would just sit in the back of the classroom and just do these hand signals. And I was just like, Tony's at it again.
Dude, I'm jealous.
He was very openly. He did not give a fuck.
I'm jealous of Kid Me for not caring about being a weeb. I would, like, roll up to the playground with my fucking Akatsuki headband, Kakashi vest, and, like, plastic kunai. And just be like, yo, who wants to play knit? And, like, just not care. And because they were kids, like, they didn't care either. It was like, yeah, we'll play whatever. This dude dressed like a ninja, I guess. The other story I had, and this one, unfortunately, I did get caught. I remember reading one of the Kenshin manga and seeing, like, they were, like, explaining, oh, this is how we did his technique. And I went in the living room and got the souvenir katana that we got from Japan, these same ones right here. And I went outside and I was like, I am going to practice Kenshin sword style and become a master of the blade. This time, unfortunately, was in the front yard. And one of my friends from, I think this was middle school, a lot of the people I knew in middle school lived in the same neighborhood as me, and one of them was like riding his bike, and he saw me and was like, "Robert, what are you doing?" And I was like, "I am practicing a sword technique from a comic that I just read." I couldn't come up with anything to lie about. I don't know if he told people about it. I don't know. I didn't talk to many people, and I was still super, super introverted at that time. So people probably were making fun of me, and I just didn't notice. But yeah, those are some of my embarrassing weeb stories.
That is, it's kind of funny that whenever we were kids, and you know, growing up with anime and stuff, people were like, "Oh, isn't like anime cartoons and stuff for kids?" And now anime is like, "Isn't anime like that perverted hentai shit?" And it's like, where did the script flip?
Yeah.
That's bullshit though. I've converted so many people at this point because there's a range of like really good, high quality just works of art. Like,
oh yeah,
I've shown people, you know, like a lot of my friends who are into like film and like, you know, just like auteur kind of artsy art house stuff. I'm like, okay, watch Paprika and tell me you're not into that shit. You know?
Oh my goodness, yeah. Well, I feel like it kind of goes back to what Sonata was saying, where like the quality of anime has just jumped up, where like, you know, our gateway drugs were like the shit that we saw in Toonami. But these days, I feel like there's most people have a go-to list of anime, and they're usually like the same ones. Like, I think Tokyo Ghoul people usually use as a gateway. I can't think of some of them, but there's like a list of anime that have come out in the past 5-10 years that people use as the new gateways when they're introducing people to anime, because they're just kind of examples of everything it can be.
I got my mom like fully into anime now.
Oh,
yeah,
that's cute.
My mom's a huge pothead, and I used to be, and we used to smoke weed and watch Sword Art Online together.
Oh my god. Honestly,
it was a whole vibe, first of all. Second of all, I found out she just finished Hunter Hunter like on her own.
Oh,
I was like, oh shit, you're a full weeball. Like,
dude, listen, I know the feeling. My mom is the same way. Like, both my parents watch anime, but my mom told me about Beastars, actually. She recommended it to me.
Wow. Well, your mom also brought home Inuyasha DVDs.
Yeah.
So
my mom brought, I'm gonna expose myself a little bit. My mom brought home like Please Teacher and shit, which I shouldn't have been watching, but I watched all of it multiple times.
I'm so mad. All you have cool parents, and I'm just here like I have to pretend to be normal.
Are you kidding me? My mom doesn't. Well, okay. I also have an Asian mom who like didn't really care what the fuck I was watching as long as it wasn't just straight up porn. But there was a time when I was in high school and my parents were cleaning my room, and my first like really kind of, not really hardcore, but it was like, it was a BL manga that had sex scenes in it, but it wasn't anything crazy. Well, for some reason, I was an idiot, and I had stuffed it underneath my pillow instead of just putting it back on my bookcase. And my parents decided, for some reason, they never freaking did this, but this one day, they came in and cleaned my room for me, which is unheard of in an Asian household. Let me tell you, this is fucking, it was weird. Like, it was as if they knew that shit was under my pillow. They went, they saw it, they like told me to come home immediately, and I got in my room. My dad like tore it like down the middle, not even opening it up, tore down the middle with it closed. And it's a thick thing.
Oh wow.
Just right in front of my face. And he was just like, "What is this?" And I was like, and I tried to pull the American kid thing and was like, "I just want some privacy." And they're like, "Do you pay for this?" I was like, "Oh shit, I'm gonna get my ass beat. What the fuck?" I've been hanging out with my white friends too much.
That's funny. Actually, I have a similar story to that one. It was super innocent now in hindsight. I think I was in like third grade, and I had a Pokemon, like it was a poster, like Gotta Catch 'Em All, and it had like 150 Pokemon listed, and I was taking it to school, and for some reason I thought it was a bad thing to do that. It's literally just a poster. I thought it was like full contraband. And my mom, I swear to God, she sensed like a change in my chakra. She felt like she sensed that shit. She was like, let me see your book bag. And I was like, no, I want my privacy. And she heard the word privacy and went off. She was like, you don't have any fucking privacy. Like, she went off. You don't have no privacy. And no, you don't get privacy. You know how scary privacy is to a parent? That's terrifying. You mean privacy? You mean all my worst fears for you?
Dude, I didn't have anything like that happen because of, like, anything anime related. But, listen, if we have anyone listening who is not a person of color, this is just what having POC parents is like. You don't get those luxuries. One time I asked for privacy, my dad went and he took my door off the hinges, and I was like, try and get some fucking privacy now. you don't get to ask for that when I'm paying the bills.
I couldn't lock my door, and they'd be like, why are you locking your door? What are you doing? Oh shit.
Oh,
Angel, come back.
Angel disconnected.
Yeah, he'll come back.
He used his Sharingan to get out of his
It was just getting too real for him. But yeah, like, they would be like, why are you locking your door? And I'm just like, they're like, you don't lock the door in this house. And my parents never knocked. I mean, they didn't start knocking until I was in high school, I think. So actually not even then. I think after I moved out and then came and lived back at home, then they started knocking, mainly because I had a boyfriend at the time, who I'm now married to. But he's sitting right here, he's listening to our conversation.
Oh my God. I think for me, it was just like being like fresh immigrants and stuff, and like my parents not understanding American culture at all, and trying to make sure that I stay as like this perfect like culture, Eastern European little girl that they wanted, and like being like, oh, you gotta go to mosque, you gotta do these things. It was like very much of a duality for me, where I was like, on one hand, I am a giant weeb who enjoys, you know, shoujo and shonen, and on occasionally I got very, very happy with, you know, the kind of like, what is the word? It's like where it's like, you know that they're supposed to be in love, but they're like, you know, it's like BL or like soft, like Yuri and stuff.
Any type
and
of
then,
in, quote unquote.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, Uranus and fucking Neptune. That made me so happy as a kid. I was like, I love you too. This is so pure.
It tried to hit off as cousins, though.
That's why my brain go into sub, because that dub messed me up, because they feel like they're cousins, and I'm like, they're not cousins.
Look at them. They are,
I'm like, what do you mean? Cousin planets, maybe.
I'm just kidding. This was supposed to be a whole nerd. I'm sorry.
I think for the most part.
But that's who we are now, is unwholesome weaves. So it's okay. But then it's like, you know, on the other hand, I also had to be this like perfect like immigrant child that was like, I do nothing but be all Americana, motherfuckers. What's up? Like varsity sports.
Yeah.
I'm so smart. I went to art school and really disappointed them.
Oh no.
I was definitely lucky that I honestly think the fact that we lived in Japan for a bit is why my parents are as okay with anime as they are. If we had stayed in, you know, America for most of my childhood, I don't know that they would have like not let me watch it or anything, but they definitely wouldn't watch it with me, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I think he's coming back. There he is.
Angel's back.
Muted. You're muted, Angel.
There he is.
Yeah. I think for my parents, it's just weird because they're like, what the heck? My mom likes to make fun of me, though, and she's like, how many years have you been watching this and you still can't speak or understand Japanese? And I'm like, I have 5 words down, Mom. Don't worry. I have
5 words down.
All right. So
real quick, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so cool. Sorry about that. My phone died. It was on the charger.
You're all good.
All good.
Now that Angel's back, I wanted to ask you guys, do you remember what it was that initially drew you to anime? Like, I know some people, it was like the alternative storytelling from what you're used to in a American animation, or the character designs or something like that. Like, I know for me personally, it was like being an awkward, you know, kind of reclusive artistic kid. There were certain characters who I saw remnants of that in that I was able to identify with that I didn't see a whole lot in other cartoons. Like, the closest I ever got was maybe Timmy Turner, but Timmy Turner doesn't have like an empowering storyline or anything. But, you know, I look at like, my go-to is, Daisuke from Dee and Angel, because he was the awkward, antisocial, artistic kid who kind of grew into himself and grew to be more confident, shit like that. And I was like, oh man, that's like, it's cool to see someone that I relate to grow into something that I want to be.
And you had some deep ass thoughts, Rob. I was just like, ooh, colors. I'm just kidding.
I mean, that was definitely part of it.
I was just in love with Faye Valentine from Cowboy Bebop. And I was like, whatever I have to do to enter anime world is what I will do for the rest of my life. So I know y'all were talking about learning Japanese, and I'm totally doing that right now.
Oh my god, I can't even say anything. I took Japanese for a semester in college. Can hardly remember shit, to be honest.
I think I can remember how to say like, good morning teacher, how are you, because I had to say it every day.
Ohio.
I actually don't know that one. Just kidding. I know a little bit more than I'm saying. But
like, I don't even know if that's the right translation. I know that every day in class we would walk in and we would bow and say Ohio gozaimasu. I forget what the teacher would say, and we'd say hai genki desu, genki desu ka, and then they'd say hai genki desu. And that's more or less all I remember from the 3 years I spent in Japan.
Oh Lord. I remember in middle school, I had a bunch of weeb friends, and there was a girl who kept a journal of all the translated words that she could pick up from watching subbed anime. So like, she would have like baka equals idiot, and just like a whole list, and she filled up an entire fucking composition notebook of it. If that isn't just...
I mean, that's one way to do it. But I don't know if
I don't know if you guys can see, like, with my shitty camera, but I have, like, a full notebook full of, like, Japanese shit right now.
Oh. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm fully weaving it right now, dude.
Taking classes, or are you learning from anime like the rest of
us? No, I got a year-long subscription to Busuu, and I'm... paying for WaniKani premium.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah.
Guys, when are you going to take that trip to Japan?
It's so hard, dude. Oh my god.
I can imagine.
It's hard without a guided, without a teacher or something.
This is hard anyway. They have like, there's like, I think 16 different particles that mean different things in different contexts, and then there's kanji. My brain is exploding right now.
I would imagine learning to speak Japanese has to be easier than learning to write kanji.
For sure.
Well, that's why you start with kanji. You start with hiragana because it's easier. And then...
Yeah. I mean, and hiragana and katakana are pretty easy.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I've been playing Yakuza 6. And... Yeah, most of that game is hooked on phonics for me. I'm just walking around trying to read signs. I'm like, ramen. Oh shit, that's a ramen shop. Like, I'm dead ass doing that.
Dude, dude. Honestly, that's...
Do not let the streets know. I'm so glad dope, this is though. Undercover Nerd, yo.
Like, here's the thing, because, like, they tell you, like, you know, when you're learning a language, you should, like, you know, envelop yourself in that culture. And what better way than to play a game set in Japan and just fucking read the street signs, like...
Yeah, I know how to ask people, where's my money now? This is useful.
Yo, we gotta plan a trip to Japan, and just whenever someone tries to punk us, Angel's Yakuza knowledge is gonna kick in.
I'm gonna come on like a dweeb. Kore yaro. They'd be like, yo, get this fucking weeb fan.
Oh my god, I can't. Oh god! But yeah, no, a Japan trip would be fun because I feel like, I mean, being a self-aware weeb, I know Japan is not like it is in anime. You know, it's not a happy dreamland, sunshine, rainbows, sugar candies stuff. But like, I still want to go to like experience the culture and whatnot.
I miss.
But
the I think
like,
they do have sugar candy.
They do
have a lot of sugar candies.
And street food for like $2. Dude. Like, let me get fat, right.
Please. This is a really weird thing to miss, but fucking, I don't know what they do to their ketchup, but Japanese ketchup is just, it is on another level. Like, I have a distinct memory of like coming back to America, going to McDonald's and be like, the ketchup's not as good. I never thought I'd be mad about ketchup, but it just doesn't
at
taste
least
as good.
Had ketchup. And, like, they don't even have ketchup in fucking England.
Dude, I'm...
American ketchup is so sweet.
Yeah.
Is it sweet? Like,
well, I like Turkish ketchup and more like Eastern European ketchup because it's not as like sugary. It's more of like that tomatoey, very kind of like deep flavor.
I mean,
so
we put corn syrup in fucking everything.
Yeah.
Huh?
We put corn syrup and everything.
Yeah.
I
did try. I did have this. I had ketchup in Vietnam, and I gagged. It was disgusting. I was like, this is not ketchup. It was really sweet. It was like they put actual, instead of putting corn syrup in it, they put actual sugar in it, but like no salt.
I remember
a
while ago, we took a vacation, we took a cruise, and like it was in South America, and like the difference between using cane sugar in your soda as opposed to like corn syrup, it's like it just, you can, it tastes so much better.
Yeah, that's why I love, I'd have a Mexican Coke over a regular Coke anyway.
Oh yeah, it, like Mexican Coke doesn't make my teeth feel weird after I drink it.
Yeah.
I need to send all of you this like Bosnian Coke. I don't even know. It's like it's called Kokta. I'm not sure exactly what's in it, but it's so cool.
Just to clarify for the FBI, we're talking about Coca-Cola. Ryan was like, yeah, Mexican Coke make that nice.
All right.
I'm gonna talk to my Russian coordinates. Let me get back to you.
don't blow up the cover. Don't make it hot.
I have a question for you guys. Did you have either a favorite Japanese snack or one you really wanted to try from seeing an anime as a kid or whatever?
Big Hi-Chew, all the way. Mm. Y'all ever had Hi-Chew?
Oh, dude.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, sell it in, like, Walmart now, which is crazy to me. Because I used to, that was like a piece of gold whenever you found it.
That's true. It's crazy just having access. I remember, like, finding Pocky as a kid was like, yo, where'd you fucking get this?
Pocky was always my thing.
Also, Japan has a bunch of, like, exclusive flavors of Kit Kat. They have this green tea matcha Kit Kat. Absolutely slaps.
Me
and
Rob, I've seen the green tea one here.
In Epcot.
Yes.
Yeah,
we went crazy on those. And the soccer ones, too, were really good.
Weird,
I'm sure that they sell those in the Asian market in New York. Like,
yeah.
They have to.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. There's actually there's like a super like it's not meant for people who aren't Asian. Like the signage isn't even in English, and I'd be in there because it's the only place I could find Migo Ring. You know those I don't know if I said it right. It's those like noodles. I think they're like Malaysian or something. I don't know. Whatever. I'll be in there and they look at me funny and I don't care.
I'm actually
wondering for me, I definitely want to try those like the light blue like ice popsicles that they have, the ones that they like split and stuff.
Oh,
Kingdom Hearts popsicles.
I know what you're talking about.
Yes. I want to try one so bad.
We had those every so often when we lived in Japan. It was very rare. So the elementary school I went to, popsicles were like fucking you. If you had access to like either those popsicles or the choo-choos, the ones that are like cylinders that you break in half, you were fucking top dog on the playground.
It was like
selling contraband. Like if someone was like, "Yo, I heard you got fucking popsicles. Like, how many can you sell me?" And I was like, "Yo, I'll get you 5 for $10. He's like, "Deal, here you go." Like it was crazy. Like you're popular. I had people who had a crush on my sister and they would give me popsicles to give to her.
As
a fucking
So Japan is an
average. Yeah. Jokes on them, because I took the popsicle for myself. Those shits are rare. Like I kept it. But it was so bizarre thinking back on it.
That is so great. Oh my god.
I'm still laughing because I heard your dope boy voice just now. You're like, I got 25, what you need? Like
I love that.
I think that what was it? The chick Rosario or Rosa, whatever her name is, she's the one who has the YouTube channel Nerd Yummies. She teaches you how to make the sea salt ice cream.
Popsicles.
I said ice cream. Which, I mean, I would never attempt myself because it just sounds kind of gross to me, to be honest.
I can't feed my Kingdom Hearts addiction. I can never watch that video.
You know what we could do that's super nerdy and dumb but also kind of cool? We could change our background to the clock tower and then just each have them. And then we could... I'm already wearing a black hoodie.
Oh my god!
All right,
that's dumb. You're right. That's dumb.
One of the reasons I want to go to Japan, we'll go back to Japan, is like there's so many like anime video game tie-in fashion lines that we just don't ever get access to in the West. They had that when Kingdom Hearts 3 came out, they had the tie-in, like they had jackets and fucking hoodies and like shoes and shit based off the different characters. And I think they just put one out for, I want to say it was Code Geass. They did a tie-in, like, fashion line. I think they did one for Nier Automata. Like, it's just crazy shit that I was like, man, why can't we ever get that shit?
Also, there's a figure shop somewhere in Tokyo, and I forget what it's exactly called, but I have it saved. I saw Gigguk and the anime man go to it, but they have like a bunch of like old school figures and stuff where they're like half price. They're like not that bad price, or really rare ones that are like more expensive. And I'm like, so bring a second suitcase, because when I go to this place, I will buy all the figures that I can't get online, like Angel Beats figures, like all the Haikyuu figures that I want.
I'm
going all out. I'm opening a second credit card.
The one with Riku and Mickey Mouse kissing together.
It spins,
and it's a music box, and it plays it plays Sanctuary.
On the top, like before you open it, it's just like Donald Duck and Goofy holding hands, and then you open it.
Aneurysm. I actually want the music box where it's Sora and Riku walking off into the distance, and Kairi's just sitting on the floor crying, and it plays it plays Simple and Clean.
Oh, wow. I'd be down for that, to be honest.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, I bring just an empty duffel bag with me to Japan purely for souvenirs.
Yeah, and plus their art supplies are really nice too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stacking up. Like when I go, I'm gonna make sure I have like 10K. And just
I mean, I'm thinking. Nice. I'm thinking of planning a trip for not next summer, but maybe the summer after, because you know, it's up in the air because of the, you know, the thing that's happening. I don't, you know,
the thing that shall not be named.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, if you get lucky and things open up, prices are cheaper now than they've ever been for plane tickets and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can kind of, if you're lucky, you can set it for when you'd be ready, and like that's kind of what I'm trying to do, because I want to go to an onsen so bad, like a hot spring.
Oh my god! Yeah.
Yes.
I
want
to
go.
Go ahead.
Somebody go.
I was just gonna say that. I think East Asia is doing like 2 week quarantine, or like once your test is back, that you're not. Like with the thing that shall not be named, like you can go and explore.
Huh.
I don't know if the bread will allow me to stay more than 2 weeks. So I might just be like in a Japanese hotel room, like, yeah, Japan.
All right. So
I'll be in the
IQ
hotel rooms that just opened up. Thank you very much.
I don't know what they're called exactly, but they're like, I think they're called manga hotels, where they have manga like stacked on the shelves, and it's super cheap. I think it's like, they said it was like 16,000 yen or something like that to stay in, or 20,000 yen, something like that to rent a, it's like a little hovel. Like basically it's all it is a futon, and you have like a plug, and there's a curtain. So it's basically it's not even a room, it's a bed with shelves and stuff, but you get to read manga all day and night. I mean, they do separate like the male and female quarters, but it's super cheap compared to like hotels, and honestly, I'd be so down for that. Just to like read, they have English, like mangas in English too, so.
Me and Sonata send each other so many TikToks of themed cafes, and we're just like, we need to go here and here and here.
Oh, they have a yaoi cafe. No, sorry. Yeah.
Our wallets would not allow us. Unless this podcast blows up, please let it blow up so we can go to Japan without any worry.
Yeah.
We're not.
What we'll do. We're gonna plan a 2022 meet and greet for our fans. Come find us in Japan.
Please let me go to the Ghibli Museum Park thingy that's opening in 2022.
Oh my god, yes.
I want to get in a Gundam.
Oh my god, yeah, have you seen the videos of the Gundam? Oh my god.
Dude, it moves?
I'll join the Japanese military if I get to pilot a Gundam. Like, straight up.
Easily. Not only that, I'll die for that country.
Exactly. I will abandon my allegiance to this country. It's like, you got Gundams? Hell yeah. Whatever war you guys are trying to fight, you won already. I'm on your side.
Listen, I have two countries to abandon allegiance to, and I'll still do it. Like, let me go.
Same, though.
Listen, our generation is perfect for piloting Gundams. We're already depressed. That's the one prerequisite for being a mech pilot.
I will be the next Shinji if I have to.
And you do have to be.
I can be. You know why? Because I have the same exact parental issues as he does, except reverse it with the parents.
Listen, give me a fucking giant robot with a drill and I'm good. That's all I want out of life.
I want a death sight.
Like,
what? I want to do it with Gundam. Paint it black, all of it.
I just want to be so badass and have a reason to die, you know?
That's the most relatable shit I've ever heard in my life.
I want them to build.
Oh my god.
I want them to build like a really long runway and get me a giant Gundam with like an equally giant longboard. And I just want to like longboard down a roll runway in my fucking mech suit.
The only request I have for my mech suit is it has bunny ears. That's all I want.
Oh my god.
Give me an Usachan mech.
Oh my god. That would be so cute.
Y'all do whatever y'all want. I'm gonna go find the slimes and I'm just gonna go hunt them for the whole time I'm there. I'm gonna level up.
All right, guys, when we go to Japan, we have to stand in the middle of a street until a truck hits us and we wake up in an anime world.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Are we holding preferably hands one so we without can all a lot of issues. The same anime world.
We all end up in different animes.
Like,
but we still have, like, cell service.
Again.
So it's like, hey, where'd you end up? It's like, oh man, I got Attack on Titan. I'm fucked.
I'm not even part of the military. I'm just here.
I'm just a civilian. I'm gonna die. What is this, Wall Maria? Fuck no. Get me out of here.
Take me back. Take me hell. I don't care. Anyone but here.
Matter of fact, where's Levi? If I'm dying, it's gonna be by his hand.
I'll stay with you, homie.
Oh,
all right,
Jesus.
I think we've gone over for our time for this episode. You guys have any final words?
I'm just saying right now, because y'all were talking about the cafes. There is a BL cafe. There's like some BL's cafes or whatever where you can literally order from the menu, like certain interactions between, and they're dressed like butlers, of course. And you can order like a scene. I'm gonna tell you right now, I ain't stepping foot in that place because I already get secondhand embarrassment. I don't need it. Would kill me. It would literally kill me because I'm like, first of all, I don't want to see two real people who are pretending to. Oh my god, I don't even know. I would die. I'm pretty because Sonata, you had mentioned the anime man earlier. I follow his girlfriend's YouTube.
I like her. She's sweet.
Yeah.
I forgot her.
I remember her
I know
name.
Who you're talking about. She has the blue hair and I feel so bad. There you go.
Yeah. She's really cute and she went to one and I was like, I couldn't sit there. I'd be like, nope. Y'all fake as fuck. Bye.
I will say the animal cafes seem very tempting to me. So, like I said before,
please let us blow up. Give us the money so we can go, please. We're so poor. Our art school has drained us beyond thoughts.
Oh, tell me about it.
What kind of shit would that be if we spend all this money to go to art school just to become podcasters?
I mean, I'm about it. I'd get on every week and just talk about weed shit.
My mom would be even disappointed, but if the money's coming in, I think she'd be happy.
You'd be like, I don't understand what's going on, but at least you're making money. Whatever.
That PS5 isn't going to buy
good
itself.
Good job.
Yo, my dad would be like, just sell drugs, bro. What are you doing? What are you doing? Talking about some girl with purple hair and titties, man. Let's take up. Get you some red. Get some four-finger rings.
Tune in next time to Angel just talking about every single anime woman's tits from 1 to 100.
Listen, I know you're joking.
That could
but
be
we can,
a whole separate podcast.
We can get 30 minutes out of that easy.
Yes.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Undercover Nerds podcast, and happy birthday to whoever's birthday it may be.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
We'll see you guys next time.
Survive.
All right, we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.